Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, your hostess with the mostest. Ha! Huh. I don't know where that came from today, but I'm just declaring it. So there we go. And I am delighted to have a guest with us today. And it was, she's a really impressive woman who has overcome something and just gone on to great heights and being able to help a lot of other people in their life. Her name is Nicole Simonin, and I forgot
to Simonin.
I forgot. Simonin. Okay. Most of the time I'm good because I get do better with as
no one gets it
ask
right.
Ask people
it's
before
totally
we
fine.
Get started. So. Simonin, I like that.
So Simonin. Kind
of, Simonin.
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 Okay. There you go.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. That's good too.
You know what? It'll be in the show notes. You'll read what her name is, and I'm gonna apologizing right now for totally butchering it. So let me just get into telling you a little bit about Nicole Simonin.
Very good. You got it.
Okay, I feel better now.
You know, it's a
all
tough
right.
One.
So since 2006, she has been helping women lose weight for the last time. I love that because I have lost weight many times. And this time around that I have lost weight, it's the last time for me too. I'm like, I'm over it. Done. Nicole is an ACE personal trainer, ACE health coach. And I might ask you what ACE stands for in a minute after we get going. She's has her own podcast. She is the host of, it's called Shape It Up Over 40 and is the founder of Shape It Up LLC, as well as the author of the No Fuss, No Mess Shape It Up cookbook. Ooh, I like that. I always like cookbooks. I might have to find that one. And she's also, as if that isn't enough, she's a licensed physical therapist assistant and a former professional ballet dancer who has also been featured in Rachel Ray in Season, Bicycling Magazine, Real Simple, and MSN. So welcome, Nicole. And I do apologize for butchering your name at the beginning. So
please. No worries. Thank you so much for having me on, Gloria. It is a hard last name.
Not when I look at it. It's not really that hard. It's just, well, anyway, it's all good. So I love that part of your background is professional ballet dancer because I did take tap, ballet, and jazz when I was a kid many, many, many moons ago now, but I loved it. It was a thing that I enjoyed. But I know we were talking a little bit before we got started recording today that when you were young, before you became a professional ballet dancer, you had a health challenge. So can you share a little bit about that and how that impacted your ballet career?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, at age 13, had declared to my parents that I was going to be a professional ballet dancer. And when I was 17, I woke up one morning and we were actually heading to New York. I am in South Jersey. And we were going to get costumes made in New York for a ballet piece that we were doing. And it was a Saturday. I woke up and I could not move. I felt like I had cement blocks on top of me. And I was in such pain. Nice. And as a very active 17-year-old, you know, to go from very active to now like not being able to do anything, like I couldn't squeeze toothpaste out. It was painful. I needed people to help me walk to the bathroom and do things. So I wound up in the hospital and I wound up in Children's Hospital in Philly and they had no idea what was going on. Very long story. They did a lot of tests and everything. And finally they were like, you know, we can't really do anything for you. They told my mom that I would probably not be able to walk and I would probably be blind.
Jeez.
And yeah, so at the same time, my dad was in Vermont. He had been skiing and fell and was getting a rod in his hip. So my mom had a lot of patience, I think, at that point. Okay. Yeah. But so I went home, and eventually they found out one more symptom popped up, and I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. So I have a genetic marker, and basically if something happens, like I get a bacterial infection or something, that it explodes.
Yeah.
So 9 months later, after the when I went to the hospital, I actually was dancing on scholarship at Radford University for my Bachelor of Fine Arts in ballet. So,
wow.
Yeah, I did not let that stop me. Again, I know we were briefly talking before, but I don't know if it was like just young ignorance or strong-headedness. I don't know. I've always been strong-willed, so I definitely think I just was like, yeah, it's not an option.
I love that. Well, I think attitude does have a big deal to do with that. Having a positive attitude, but it makes a big difference. And I think, you know, part of it probably was you were young and probably just didn't like the idea of your plans being derailed.
Pretty much. Looking back though, I really remember the funny parts of being in the hospital. Like I always tell the story of I was in a children's hospital and I was holding my breath to play with the heart rate monitor, everything that you're hooked up to. Yeah. And so it would blip and then I'd hold my breath and then it would like almost flatline and then it would blip again. Yeah. And so I know I was their favorite patient, all the nurses. I apologize to whoever that was. but different things, like I know my mom came in when I was looking at a book and I was running my fingers over a book and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, if I'm going to be blind, I might as well learn how to read Braille. Hmm. But it wasn't a Braille book. It was just a regular book. So like, this is who I am. Yeah. But funny things like that. And I think even when my mom and I talk about it now, it's, we remember the funny parts, you know, of the whole situation.
Well, that's important. And I think, you know what, I do think because I'm sure you've heard there's been lots of studies that have shown that, like even people with cancer, for instance, that if they focus their attention more on like watching comedies, in fact, what was it? I know there was a famous doctor who talked about that and his name is escaping me at the moment, but the humor does help a lot. Yeah.
Didn't they do a movie with Robin Williams?
I think so.
Yeah,
that was coming to mind as well. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think probably all of that combined, is what helped you to make a recovery. So how did you, I guess, and you know, how did you make the pivot then from being a professional dancer to, you know, what you're doing today? So you're more of a health coach and trainer and things like that.
Yeah. So I was actually guesting at Pennsylvania Ballet and I was driving home. I was dancing and I had twisted my ankle. And I was driving home in a snowstorm and I was like, I was like 29, I think. And I was like, I have got to find something that doesn't really rely on my body, which is ironic.
Yes.
What I chose. But so I decided to go to school for physical therapy. Ah. And I absolutely loved working in the physical therapy department. I just love the way the body works. I loved orthopedics. Mm-hmm. And one of the places that I worked had a physical therapy side and they also had a gym. And earlier you had asked me what was an ACE personal trainer. So ACE is American Council on Exercise. It's one of the top certifications in the country for personal training, health coach.
Oh, okay.
And so I actually got my personal training certification while I was working as a PTA and I was running the gym of the place. Oh. And I loved it. So I was working as a PTA and running the gym. And then I got married and I had my son and I kept telling the people that I was working for, I was like, I'll be back. Don't worry. Just going on maternity leave. And then I had my son and I was like, I'm not coming back. So sorry.
Yeah.
I just can't leave him at home. I want to, you know, raise him. Yeah. And then I just, in 2006, I decided, I was like, I need some sort of adult interaction. Mm-hmm. I want to do something other than take care of my son. Not that that's not important, but so I started Shape It Up and I started off as an online trainer. Mm. And the technology was horrendous back then.
Yes.
Like it was horrible. It took me hours and hours to create one client's workout and to get it to them. And it was just very time consuming.
Right.
So then I had my daughter, not less than 2 years later. And I was like, okay, we're getting out of the house. So I started Mommy and Me boot camps, and which was great because the kids came along, they learned how to count from 1 to 20 because that was all we did in the class. They got to interact with other kids and we were outside, and it was such a beautiful experience. And then, so over the years, Shape It Up has evolved from Mommy Me boot camps to private training. And now I'm back to online coaching.
Right, exactly, because of the lovely pandemic we're in. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was part of it. That kind of pushed me all the way into online. Yeah. I do have some in-person clients, but right now I'm in Jersey, so we are still kind of
locked down. Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to come out, but I personally would like to still self-quarantine until we can see what actually is happening, you know. Yeah. But so, and it's interesting because the online training now is so much easier, and it's so like what we're doing now is what I do with clients.
Yeah.
And I have an app that I design workouts, I customize everything for my clients.
Nice.
Nutrition wise, I don't give out exact nutritional plans because nobody follows them, to be honest. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So I kind of give a framework around nutrition, but the most important part I find is the mindset part. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is such a big missing piece between, you know, like we all know we have to move more and eat less, but why don't we do it? Right. And I really think that is the missing piece. And that is what I'm really passionate about now, is just trying to not only my own personal journey and figuring out why I do the things I do, but watching my clients and seeing, you know, how everybody's different and unique, and, you know, it's like unpacking or peeling off the layer of onions of everybody. So I find that fascinating, that like whoever comes to me is going to be a totally different package. And I love diving into that and working with my clients to get them to the results that they want.
That's awesome. So do you, I know your podcast says it's for shaping up over 40. Is that really who you are focused on working with, even like with your programs that you're doing now?
I do. I made the shift. I think it's probably been when I turned 40. So it's been ironic.
That might have been a catalyst.
Yeah. So I'll be 47 in the summer. So it's been almost 7 years. And part of that was because I was going, you know, into my 40s, and I started looking around at, like, you know, just Googling information on the internet, and there was nothing out there for ladies over 40. And I don't know if there's a disconnect because, you know, some women over 40 aren't really into social media. They're not into like the 20-year-olds that are posting Instagram photos of their body, you know, 24 hours a day. And I get that, but I just found that there was a spot that, you know, I was like, yes, this is where we need it. And the people that I were talking to that were around my age, they were like, oh, 40, this is it. This is as good as it gets. And I was like, no, no, I plan on proving y'all wrong. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are in their 90s and 80s. And I think, yes, I feel like a lot of people want to look good, but it's really about being independent as we age. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to open up my spaghetti jars when I'm 90. I want to be able to live independently. And, you know, I mean, things happen, but that is my goal for sure. And I really, you know, the people that come to me are in the same boat. They want to be independent, and they want to be strong, and they want to be, you know, resilient through the rest of their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got, I mean, my goal is to be, I want to make it past 100, but I want to be healthy in mind, body, and spirit.
Yes, so for sure.
That's it. Absolutely. So I love that you're helping people that way. And in particular, I guess, is it, well, do you serve women or do you do women and men? Or what's your sweet spot?
I've worked with men in person. I find that we women just think a little differently. I am happy to work with men, but I feel like I really do, like I'm in my wheelhouse when I'm with women. Just because I understand how they think. Not to throw my husband under the bus, but like I look at him and I'm like, why do you think that way? Like, that makes no sense to me. so like, I think that's why, you know, I've really kind of narrowed my niche down into women over 40.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say to someone who is listening, who's over 40 and especially, I think, in fact, I was actually talking to part of what I do. I do a lot of things, but I also do some health coaching myself on the side. And I was talking with a past client of mine the other day, and she says, yeah, I put the weight back on again. And I was like, okay. So I'm restarting our program. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, and I also, I'm here to support you. And so I'm going to check in on her again and help her through that. But I think a lot of people during the lockdown in particular, decided to snack, and probably part of it was due to the stress of just not knowing what's going on, and or boredom because they're home and they're not getting out. So a woman over 40 is listening to this or watching us on YouTube, what would be maybe the first step that you would suggest for them to do to sort of start moving back in the right direction of creating a healthier lifestyle for themselves?
Yeah, I think the first thing when we need to socially distance from our refrigerator is to realize that there's a common saying where you fall off the fitness wagon. Mm-hmm. We don't really fall off the fitness wagon. We choose to fall off the fitness wagon. You know,
we're stepping off, we're walking.
Yeah, you're purposely choosing, whether it's consciously or not.
Yeah.
We always have a choice. So you can decide whether you want to go to the refrigerator and eat something, or you can decide. So one of the things that I always say is, if your stomach is not growling and you're eating for emotional reasons, mm-hmm. because food is for fuel. Yeah. And we as Americans, for sure, you know, we celebrate food with everything. Oh, it's Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday, you know, and everything. Right. Let's go have a coffee. Well, coffee is now like a 400 calorie drink. And then you have to get a muffin and or whatever, a scone.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy. So I think we're so interwoven with food nowadays that unless you're aware, you can't really separate it. Mm-hmm. So if your stomach isn't growling and you're grabbing for food, for sure, something else is going on that you are trying to avoid or ignore or something. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be this life-altering, you know, scenario.
Yeah.
It could just be, oh, I'm bored. I'm looking for a mood change. You know, if you finished up working and, you know, you're switching gears. I know a lot of women have wine when they come home. Mm-hmm. That's a mood change. That's something, you know, that's like, you're almost like a trigger to symbolize to your brain, oh, we get to relax now. Right. But instead, if we did something else, you know, maybe do some yoga or deep breathing, mm-hmm. you don't need the wine. You don't need the food. That would be my first suggestion, is to be aware of what you're doing and realize that you always have a choice. And choices happen in a split second. It's not like, you know, you sit there and ponder for 5 minutes. It's like, do I want it or not? Or, you know, if I eat it, is it going to get me to my results? That's a good one. I know I personally use that a lot. So
that's true. Yeah. It's like, is it worth the short-term gain for having that, you know, satisfy my sweet tooth, as opposed to the long-term, oh, am I going to be able to fit into my pants tomorrow?
Right. Right.
Because I've been there, done that. And yeah, it's, I want to, instead of eating to live or no, yeah. Or instead of living to eat, I want to eat to live. That's what it
yes,
is. Make
yeah.
sure I get that
yeah.
the right way, because I have acted the other way a lot.
You are not alone. Yeah. America wouldn't be in the situation obesity-wise, you know, if this was easy, we wouldn't have this issue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, that's why I think the mindset is so important, because how many 12-week programs are out there? How many diets are out there? Mm-hmm. If they worked long-term, we wouldn't have the obesity rates that we have.
Right. Absolutely. And we wouldn't have more companies or more people writing diet books and all of that, which right. actually leads me to, I love the idea of that cookbook that you had. So I love
right
the title,
here.
No Fuss, No Mess. Oh, good. There we go. I love it. So what is, give me maybe an example of like something, what, cause I know, I think that's also a problem with sometimes people are so, well, when we were going out more, it's so much easier to just, you know, go to the stop off at the fast food place and pick up something to eat rather than spending time to cook, which has been the one benefit of at least for people who are making healthy choices during this lockdown, is that they were actually spending more time cooking and coming up with meals. So you should maybe share a little bit about what's like something good in your cookbook, or what would be something that is an example of no fuss and no mess.
So before I answer that question, my purpose of this book was, like, I am not a chef by any stretch of the imagination. I hate cooking, but I hate food logging even more. So this cookbook is for the non-chef. So if you are looking to be the next Iron Chef, this is not the cookbook for you. And again, I don't like cleaning. We do have a dishwasher, but it's been broken. So we just store our party favors in there. So I wash all the dishes by hand, and I don't want to wash all the dishes. So that's where the no mess part comes in. Right. And no fuss. Like, I just like to grab things and put them together. So the recipes are very quick and easy. I do a lot of bulk cooking, but I don't do it in the sense where I am stuck in the kitchen for 6 hours at a time. Right. I call it power cooking. And in the book, you can see how I kind of lay it out for you and how it's structured. And it's one of the things that I love about power cooking is that you can adapt it to however you want. So a lot of times I will cook food on like a Friday. So I work from home. So I guess everybody's working from home right now, but normally I still work from home. Yeah. And so Fridays are like the day, you know, I'll have the fresh vegetables and whatever, and I will kind of cook. But like, I will make sweet potatoes, I will make cauliflower, I will make usually mac and cheese for the kids or something like that. And what I do is I do all of that at the same time. So I'm really only in there for about an hour. Yeah. Meat wise, same thing. Like, if I have I'll buy like a lot of, say ground turkey. So say it's usually like 8 pounds and I'll do 2 pounds, you know, I'm going to stir fry it. 2 pounds go to burgers, 2 pounds go to meatballs, and I'll do all that. And then I'll either freeze or eat. So basically I'm grabbing and going throughout. So that's how the recipes are kind of put together. And also the way I designed this book is I designed it for my clients, but I also designed it for me, because I don't like food logging. So I know that I can pick, like, the recipes themselves are based on a calorie amount. So I can just pick and choose what I want to put together. And if anybody does get the book, or the Kindle version, either one, inside there is a bonus there. So make sure you go to that link, because you will get meal templates from me, and you'll also get my smoothie recipe book. So that kind of complements everything as well. But yeah, so that's kind of how I came about throwing this book together. It's been in the works for about 3 years, but then COVID happened and I was like, you know what? Now is the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah. I do like to cook. I do. And actually my daughter will tease me, because she's like, well, especially because I like watching like shows like Top Chef and things like that too. And she's like, well, aren't you going to, like, you know, whip up those fancy things? I'm like, okay, I'm not to that level. It's like, I did learn how to crack an egg with one hand, because I worked at McDonald's and I had to make egg McMuffins.
So there you go.
Six eggs. And so she was impressed with that, but the cleanup part, yeah, that's a pain. So I have learned to sort of clean as I go, to try to minimize the mess, but yeah, so that's awesome that you had that. I love that.
Yeah. One of the other things too, about this book is that, like, I would make family dinners and nobody would want to eat them or they'd want something else, you know, with it. So by doing it the way I cook it now, everybody can kind of make their own stuff. And my kids are teenagers, so it's not like they're little ones. Yeah. So that works out too. So everybody gets what they want.
That's good. Yeah. That's important. I know I've been, well, in the past, even in our family, for a while I was doing like vegetarian, but my husband is a meat eater. So I'd be like cooking two meals. Yeah. That's kind of annoying. It's better when you can, you know, be eating the same things, but if you can't offer some other varieties. So that's awesome as well. Just trying to think, is there anything else, maybe any advice, you know, we kind of talked about the mindset part is part of this, but I guess being with your background as not only as a ballet dancer, but in physical therapy and personal training, what about exercise? How big a role does that play in even with what you're teaching your clients, or what do you recommend for, again, maybe, you know, couch potatoes who want to start, know the importance of moving, and that they need to do something? What would you, kind of advice do you have for people on that front?
Well, like when clients come to me, I always try to meet them where they are. So mm-hmm. whether that's a beginner or someone who has, you know, is very sedentary, mm-hmm. We're going to start off very basic. I'm going to try and have them walk more, because a lot of times depending on how much weight they want to lose and where they're at. So again, that's why it's so diverse as to where to go. I do not, from my physical therapy background, I do not come from a place where like, it's like, let's beat you down for, you know, the first week and we're going to do all this crazy stuff, flipping tires and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think depending on the person, mm-hmm. if you want to flip tires, we'll work our way up there. But I don't think you need to flip tires in order to lose weight. So for a beginner, I would definitely just say start walking. You know, most people have the Fitbits or some sort of pedometer nowadays, the watch, even phones have pedometers on them. Yeah. I don't know if you want your phone attached to you all the time, but you know, just increasing your steps. The average person really only walks like 2,000 to 3,000 steps a day, which Ooh. Is really low.
Yeah.
I try to slowly build them up to like 10,000 steps a day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are very resistant about that. They think it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
But just moving, the body was meant to move. Mm-hmm. So I do think exercise is very important. I do think the mindset piece has to be in place first, because, you know, if somebody doesn't want to walk or they don't want to lift weights or they don't want to work out,
yeah.
It, you know, I can't force them to do that as much as I would want them to, because I know it's helping them.
Right.
They have to figure out what it is that they need to think and feel in order to take those action steps to get them the results that they want to get, or they say they want to get.
Right.
So I do find that weight training is very important. Mm. I don't think, especially women over 40, you know, you can absolutely do those HIIT cardio sessions if you want, but weight training is the fountain of youth. Mm. I think the more that you, and I'm not talking about like powerlifting, I'm talking right. about progressing from those, I call them Barbie 5-pound dumbbells, okay. you know, to the like 10, 15-pound dumbbells, because when you strength train, you're not only building your muscles, which we obviously all know, but you're also building your bone density. Mm. Which is very important as we age, because right. I mean, how many people have you heard that are older break their hips and yep. that kind of thing? So strength training, I feel, is key to it. Mm. And it's not like you have to be in the gym or at your home for 6 hours, you know, grunting and groaning and lifting mm. weights. I find that a half hour is mm. fantastic. I definitely think you need cardio. I think exercise is a big portion of it. But again, I feel like I really have to figure out the percentages, because somebody asked me this before too, but like, you know, I think there's a saying like 80% is nutrition and 20 is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like 70% should be mindset, you know, and then exercise and then food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Food and then exercise.
Right.
Because we've become so sedentary mm-hmm. in everything that we do. I mean, now we're on Zoom, which is yeah. wonderful, but we're sitting.
Right.
You yeah. know, and it's not like we're walking around your office and that kind of thing. But sitting is like the new killer of mm, us true. All, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, it has been. Because I have seen studies about that. I mean, that it really is killing us, literally. And yeah. and you've just reminded me that I think the next time I do one of these interviews, I do have a standing desk. Well, it's like a little portable one that I can put on top of my desk, and then I can put the computer on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have to look into doing that so that I can stand up for these interviews, because I've also taken, you know, training on how to speak properly. And they do say the standing up while you're speaking is better for you also.
I'm sure.
You get more lung capacity. Okay. See, I'm glad I had you on the show today.
Yeah. I'll give you a suggestion. If you have a treadmill at home, again, depending on what type of treadmill you have, I actually have this like piece of wood. It's a plank I don't even know what it's from, but I lay it across my railings of my treadmill. Now be careful. Okay. But, I will set up my laptop. I don't do video chats on there because I'm breathing and stuff, but I literally will be talking and walking, typing and walking on the treadmill. And it's not like I'm walking, you know, I'm walking a slower clip, but I'm able to type. And I usually last about a half hour because then I feel like I'm getting motion sickness, but, but that's something, you know, I mean, they have the treadmill desks. I would say as much as you can move, move, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I try to, as much as possible, even just doing at least like a 20-minute walk every morning. And I just go around my neighborhood, and that's, you know, again, even with social distancing and things like that. In fact, actually during this whole lockdown, I know in my neighborhood, it was like, I saw many more of my neighbors walking their dogs and just getting out there and getting some fresh air. Especially, of course, I live in Florida, so it's easier to get out and about more often some times of the year. If you're living up north, like you live in New Jersey, you're not necessarily going to be able to walk as easily in January, but they're having a treadmill. That's a good way to do it. So that's awesome. If someone wants to get in touch with you, learn more about all the wonderful things that you are doing in the world and learn more about your programs, what is the best way for people to connect with you?
You can go to shapeitupfitness.com. That is where everything is listed. Social medias. You can check out the podcast on Apple. Shape It Up Over 40. And the cookbook, if you're interested in it, is over at amazon.com.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, I will make sure that I put a link to that in the show notes. So if you're listening to this and you're not able to go to that right now, then you'll have it so you can refer to it. So that'll be awesome. So thank you so much for being here and sharing some great advice on how to really start dealing with the mindset issue and to be able to get in shape, because we need to be in shape. And especially now, I think that this pandemic has shown that the people who unfortunately have had the worst results and even have passed away have been people who have had chronic health conditions. You know, they are overweight, they've got high blood pressure, diabetes, things like that. So, use this opportunity now, even if just start from where you are, just start making the little steps and take control of your health, because this is the only body you've got. And so treat it the way it deserves to be treated, I think. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Nicole, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm doing wonderfully today, aren't I? Oh, well, it's all good. It's all good. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. And I guess I'm, it's all good. That's it. I'm declaring it's all good. So as always, I just encourage you out there to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult with a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.